Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. Wonderful to have you here this afternoon. It's a lovely Friday, and just before the weekend, we're going to talk about being brave. You know, Scripture is filled with lots of stories about people who step out to new opportunities, taking risks on adventures, walking into the unknown. You can think of the disciples, for example, just dropping their nets and following a pretty much unknown teacher at the time. Or maybe it's Abraham leaving his homeland, or Joshua entering into a promised land, or maybe the Apostle Paul preaching to people who had no idea what he was talking about. Well, what would your chapter be if you were talking about stepping into the unknown, a time when you've maybe been brave, or maybe a time when you've regretted not being brave? Well, we all have our own stories to tell about courage from choices that we've made or choices that we wish we have made. And my guest today has her own stories about courage. Some of those courageous choices changed her life and changed the course of her life. And she also knows what God has to say about finding courage and boldness, something we all kind of strive for. So let me introduce you to her and we'll get started. Annie Downs is an author, a blogger, and a speaker based in Nashville, Tennessee. She says that she's flawed but funny and uses her writing to highlight the everyday goodness of a real and present God. She's an author of three books, including Let's All Be Brave, Perfectly Unique, and Speak Love. Annie also loves traveling around the country speaking to young women, college students, and adults. Annie is a huge fan of singers and songwriters, burritos, her community of friends, and sports of all kinds. And we're going to be chatting about her latest book, Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have. Welcome, Annie.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm just great. You know, my sons, when they were in preschool, had this thing where if there was a child who was describing things that they liked, then the other children who liked those things would raise their hands and shake them as high as they could. And I was reading your bio and I kept raising my hands. I love singer-songwriters. I love burritos. And I love my community of friends. And it was just kind of funny. So I was anxious to talk to you and hear about all of your experiences.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad. I mean, it makes it easier for us to be friends because we share some things.
So. Right. So how would you describe your latest book, Let's All Be Brave?
Well, you know, I love this book. It is the first book that I have gotten to write for my friends. You know, I love writing for teen girls, which is what Perfectly Unique and Speak Love, that's really who that is for, is young women. But Let's All Be Brave is the book that I've always wanted to write for my friends, the one that I wanted guys to be able to read. I wanted my mom and her friends to enjoy it. I wanted my girls and guys my age to enjoy it. It is just kind of my story of how God opened my eyes to what courage in an everyday life looks like. Because I have a very normal everyday life. And I'm not one of the people who wants to live in Africa, though that's very brave, or who has a really challenging job like climbing to the top of a building and washing windows. You know, I mean, I sit at my dining room table and type on a computer all day. And so I have a really normal life. And yet, God has shown me over and over again that we are each unique and we each have these unique calls to courage. And even if we feel like we are living this very normal life, God has opportunities for us to be brave woven in there.
So you write that finding that uniqueness that God had for you, or realizing that you are unique, had a lot to do with you finally having some courage to step out in ways that you felt Him calling you. Talk more about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm the oldest of three sisters, and my next younger sister has always wanted to be a missionary. Like, from the day that she got saved, she knew she wanted to live somewhere hot and in a hut, and both of those things do nothing for me. I don't like being hot. I like internet, you know, so neither of those felt like me, but I did feel these calls to, like, I used to teach elementary school, and I would feel this pull to a certain people group or a certain area of the country and be like, well, I have to trust that that feels brave for me. That feels like a sacrifice for me. And even though it looks really different than the kind of sacrifices other people are making, that is my brave and that is my story. And so that is, so for me, moving from my hometown in Atlanta to Nashville, Tennessee, that's only 3.5 hour drive away, was a really brave move for me and was really hard. But it was, it's distance wise, it's nothing compared. I mean, there are college students who go farther than that when they're 18, and I was 27 crying the whole way here, you know? So it was just a really, it was a brave move for me. And I needed to accept that and call it that and go, it is okay that the distance isn't what matters. What matters is, are you noticing what God's pulling you towards?
So a lot of the students that I teach see pastoring or becoming a missionary as like the ultimate act of bravery when it comes to serving God. And what I loved about your book is that you kind of, those are great things, those are noble things, and of course those are brave things, but you also include the rest of us who maybe haven't had that experience and don't have to think of it as anything less than.
Yeah, that's right. One of the neat things about living in Nashville is, you know, my church and my friend group have a lot of different jobs and a lot of, you know, I have friends in country music. I have friends that are singer-songwriters. I have friends that work at Vanderbilt University, and they all have really different jobs than a career Christian, than a pastor or a missionary or a worship leader. And yet they are standing for the Lord and making brave choices in their everyday lives, even if they're what the world would consider a super mega famous country musician or a really smart doctor at Vanderbilt Hospital. They are making these choices that are brave outside of the Christian job options.
Mm. So a lot of the women and teenage girls even seem to have kind of a deep-rooted negativity about ourselves. And I don't know where that comes from, but I know that you wrote a lot about that and how God kind of pulled you through that. So how did understanding that own uniqueness that you had, the way that he created you to be, lead you to step into some situations that at first might have felt a little bit scary? And just talk a little bit how someone else could do that as well.
Yeah, it's, you're exactly right. I don't know where it comes from, but there is a thing in a lot of women, not every woman, but a lot of women that, and men too that I've talked to that have said, yeah, I resonate with that. This idea of like, maybe God didn't make me this way on purpose, almost like maybe these things I want to do are bad ideas, or maybe these dreams I have in my life to be, you know, a profession, maybe those aren't from God. And you have to kind of go, it's almost backing up and going, do I believe that God made me on purpose? Do I believe that he doesn't make mistakes? Do I believe that the desires he put in my heart are desires that I can go after? I think you have to get there. And let's all be brave. That's what I kind of say is like the very first step in being brave is recognizing that God made you on purpose, that he did not mess up when he gave you the desires of your heart, the looks on your faces, the places he's placed you. He didn't mess up when he made you. And so as women, you know, I think it is a little bit harder for women because we're quick to be unkind to ourselves, probably quicker than men are. And though I've never been a dude, so I can't really say for sure, but based on my friends that are guys and myself being a female, I know that we're so quick to be unkind to ourselves. And really, every time I do that, and I still have to work on it, I still have to work on saying the kind thing to myself, believing what I know is true. And out of that, out of, okay, if God made me this way, then I can go after these dreams he's put in my heart. And if God made me this way, then I can try and fail, and that doesn't affect who I am. I think that's a big freedom that came for me in this process, was the freedom that failure, if I try something and I take a brave step and it doesn't work out, that doesn't make me a failure. That means that the situation didn't work out, and it doesn't change my worth. And that's really important. If you're going to do brave things, you are going to fail, and you can't connect your failure with your self-worth.
You know, I think about the story of Peter, like, stepping out of that boat and thinking, I can do this. Well, look, he's got me. I can totally do this. And then taking that step and then going, what am I doing? And then he's gone. And then he begins to sink. And I feel like, you know, you talked about some experiences that you had that maybe you felt that way as well. But then what did he do? But he reached down and he picked him up. I mean, he saved him. And sometimes we are afraid to do that risk, but then we get no reward whatsoever. And still, like you said, if we fail, he's going to be there for us. And it doesn't really mean that we failed, but that we're going to be that much closer the next time we try something different.
That's right. And I think of like little kids, like babies, when they're learning to walk, when they take four steps and fall down, the parents clap. No one gets upset with the kid for falling down. The child doesn't start saying unkind things to itself about what a failure it is for falling. We cheer because we know the kid is doing something it's never done before. And every step is a success, even if this time he falls after four and next time he falls after five and next time he falls after two, it's still a success every time because he's doing something he's never done before. And we need to recognize that when the Lord looks at us, he says the same things of like, I just want you trying. I am proud of you for trying. It is not about finishing a 5K the first time you try to walk, right? So I think that there's a lot of grace that we need to give ourselves if we want to live a brave life.
Talking to Annie Downs today, she's written a book called Let's All Be Brave. And we're just talking about what it takes to be courageous and to accept ourselves and the unique way that Christ has created us. We're going to talk more with Annie, and we do have a couple of her books that we'd love to give away. If you want to call in with a question or a comment for Annie, we'd love to get that on the air as well. Give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We'll be right back with Annie Downs. Perfect song for our conversation today. We're talking to author Annie Downs about her new book, Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have. And Annie, are there some people? Pardon me?
I love that song so much.
Well, I read the book, actually, my 12-year-old saw the book sitting on my desk, and he knows that I always like bumper music that I can attribute to the subject. And he said, Mom, you have to use that song, Brave. And I thought, well, out of the mouths of babes, right?
That's right. That's right.
So I'm sure you've heard it before. One of the things that you write about is people who kind of helped you along the way. In particular, I was reading a story about you having a dream that you kind of shoved aside and how people unearthed those dreams for you and made you think about them again. Who are those people who, or at least one person who kind of pushed you along, and why is that important in this quest to be brave?
Yeah, I think it is really hard, if not impossible, to be as brave as you want to be by yourself. You've got to have these other people cheering you on. I think that's why football teams have cheerleaders, right? I mean, everyone who's trying to win has people cheering for them. And so I think that's really important to identify who is that in your life and look for those people. For me, it's a really funny one to write about in the book, but in the chapter about our talent, I kind of wrote about how I was reading a book by Rebecca Lyons called Free Fall to Fly. And she kind of says in her book, like, hey, can you dig up these things that really mattered to you when you were younger and were dreams you had in your life, but you buried for one reason or another. And so for me, I had this long dream of being on television and like being a host. And I thought that was super normal for kids. Like, I would bike around our property at my parents' farm and like practice interviewing people and practice being interviewed, thinking that was super normal. And it's not, I don't think. And so having Rebecca, and Rebecca is a friend of mine and in my real life. And so I called her and I said, you won't believe what your book just did to me. You know, like, you won't believe what I feel like I need to say out loud. And so, and then once I say that out loud to her, that's kind of the first step, isn't it? Like, the first step is just saying it out loud. It doesn't even mean anything has to change. And for me, you know, I've been thinking about this and working on this and telling people for about a year, and I still, you know, Jimmy Fallon hadn't had me on his show yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I suddenly have a TV career, but I'm starting to tell people, and we're starting to have opportunities open up. And, you know, I have a board of directors, and I sat down with my board of directors, and I was like, I should probably tell y'all this. I read this book, and now I kind of want us to, like, maybe pursue doing some sort of video stuff. And I have to tell other people that, because if I just kept it to myself, after a couple of days, I could talk myself into going, oh, don't worry about it. Forget about it. It's not that important. Let it go. You've got enough to do already. Your life's busy enough. Don't add something that you could fail at into your life. But now that I've said it out loud and people know, and, you know, I wrote it in a book, it kind of holds me to a little more accountability.
It's like sitting around and saying, I really wish those people would call me so that we could go out and have some fun together. Oh, I wish they'd call me. And I just had that conversation with my son. You need to call someone. Ask them to do something. Without risk, you don't get any reward. And, you know, Christ talks about that as well, that if we're not taking those risks, and especially with relationships, then we are not going to be able to really be part of that kingdom and that community of believers. So, love that you have people who have encouraged you.
You and I have talked about this, but I'm single, and I have to think about that in dating relationships and in going in that direction too, of going like, am I being brave in this? Because if I just sit at my house all the time, the only person that I'll get to marry is the mailman, right?
And he might be married already.
Right, he is. My particular mailman is married. And so there just has to be are you willing to risk meeting new people and going to something new and not being totally comfortable in order to pursue the things that are dreams in your heart?
So you do write about being single, and you said this is the first time that you've done so. Why have you avoided that until now?
You know, I just didn't want to be the poster child for being single. I think what happens to the poster children is they stay the poster children. And so I did not want to be the poster girl for being a single Christian. And I also don't know that I've figured it out. I mean, certainly I've gotten more practice being single than I ever thought I would, being 34, but I'm still not very good at this. A lot of times it feels like there's a lot I'm still figuring out about what it looks like to have buzzed by all these birthdays and milestones thinking that my life would be different than it is. And so that's really why I didn't write about it before, is it just felt, I kind of lived in this, like, don't write about it until you figured it out kind of lifestyle. And that's just not how God asks us to live in front of other people, or how God has asked me to live in front of other people at this point. And so it just kind of came to a day where I felt like the Lord was really pushing me on, like, okay, it's time to write about this. And I was like, I don't want to. Just make me. I'm doing so good avoiding it. No one even notices. Yeah, right. You know? So, and so then some doors, you know, once I said it to one of my editors that I write with, she gave me opportunity to write a blog post on it on our website I write for, called Encourage. And we just had a massive response of women who were reading the website. They were going, I'm single too, and I didn't know anyone else felt this way or talked about this or did it. And I, all of a sudden, I was like, well, now that I've gathered you all here, I don't know what to tell you. You know? I've got you all together. I hope you're doing better at this than I am.
So do you look at that uniqueness that you found as the way that God has created you and put that into your singleness and those fears you might have as such?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you said is exactly it, Joe, is going, this is the day that the Lord has given me. This is the life that he has given me. He knows exactly what I need today. And so my opportunities to be brave are wrapped around the situations that the Lord has me. And so that's singleness and being an author and being a speaker and being a friend and being a sister and a daughter and, you know, all the things I am are, God has kind of put that map together for me, and I get to be brave within that. And so that's what I tell myself, you know, like my counselor says, craft the life that you want to have if today's the best day. So what does it look like for me to choose to be brave today in the life that the Lord's given me today and believing that this is the best?
That sounds like just a great message that women, teens would absolutely grab onto. What kinds of things do you love to unearth for teenage girls when you're talking to them?
Oh, man, I think teenagers are so fun. Teenagers and college students, I just absolutely love being around them. You know, when we're talking about courage with teenagers, it is a little bit different than with adults because, you know, what they're figuring out right now is where they need to sit at the lunch table to have the life they want to have, mm-hmm. you know, or what sports team to be on or what grades to get, what books to read, what TV shows to watch or not watch. You know, whereas adults, we kind of have our life formulated to some degree, and we're having brave opportunities inserted into that. With teenagers, they are still becoming who they are, and the brave comes in, are they willing to be who they feel like they're supposed to be? So are they willing to be kind to the student that no one else is being kind to because that's their brave move, you know? I spoke at a conference last weekend of teenagers, and they sang the song Oceans. And I said to them, as soon as I got up, I was like, I love that song. I think that song is so good where it says, take me past the trust beyond my borders, you know, and take me deeper than my feet would ever wander. And I just said, I hope if you sing that tomorrow morning at school, you're willing to sit by someone you wouldn't sit by the day before. Because if you're singing that, but you won't go beyond the borders that you feel safe at, socially at school, I'm not sure you're willing to be brave, and I'm not sure you can really sing that song, you know? And so that's what it looks like for teenagers is, who are you becoming? Who are you willing to be around and be kind to? Who are you willing to stand up for and stand up with? And where do you see your life going? And as adults, how can we partner with you online, offline, as you mature in your faith? How can we partner with you and help you to figure out what it looks like for you to be brave?
It is sometimes easy as adults to gloss over those needs that seem so important and those concerns that seem so important to our younger women because we know that in the long run, those things maybe aren't as big of a concern, but we need to acknowledge that they are right now. And
that's right.
Seems
and
to
the
be
truth is,
go ahead.
Yep. And, you know, when we see teen girls, when they get together and they talk about the mean girl or someone being unkind to them or some piece of gossip that has somehow gotten on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever and how they are processing that, you're exactly right that as adults we can go, this too shall pass. This one thing that one person said about you is going to be on the bottom of the birdcage by tomorrow, right? But the same theme of how women treat each other and how we handle when something unkind is said about us and how we stand up for people who get picked on, unfortunately, travels into adult life and unfortunately is still seen in the workplace for us as adults or in sororities for college students or in churches even. And so while the situation may be something that the student is going to get past and not remember, the opportunity to handle it well doesn't go away. And so that's what we get to mentor them through.
It's funny, I just ran into a classmate of mine from high school, which was 25 odd years ago, this morning. And I said, I would like to apologize for anything I said or did that was offensive 25 years ago. I don't know if I did. And he said, no, you were nice. And I just thought, you're like this different human being when you're teenagers in the walls of a high school. And sometimes it's nice to kind of acknowledge that we were actually there and we did probably do or say some things that were not kind to other people. And maybe that helps the teenagers to know that. Well, Annie Downs, love your spirit and the way that you have approached the subject of being brave. We have a few of Annie's books left still. If you would like to put one in your hands or the hands of someone who you think would benefit from it, give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And if you have a story that you'd like to share of a time when maybe you've been brave or wished you would have been, we'd love to hear that as well. I'll stay. My soul to Whenever I hear this song, I think of just having your arms wide open to all that God has for you. And love it, love it, love it. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Connecting Faith. This is Joe Rathmanner, and today I have the privilege of speaking with author Annie Downs. She's written a book called Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have. Annie, one of the chapters I loved reading about was your chapter on saying no. And I'm wondering, how is that a characteristic of being brave?
You know, so many people, I think the natural thing that we think about when we think about being brave is saying yes, right? Like, yes, I'll take that job, and yes, I'll go over there, and yes, I'll do that. And yet, at the same time, I think it's sometimes really brave when you say no to circumstances or opportunities because they aren't the right thing. It's easy, you know, a lot of times they say that you have to give up the good for the best. And so you have to say no to a lot of good things in order to get the best things. And so that's why I think saying no can be brave. And sometimes saying no, you know, my friend Lisa Turkhurst just had a book come out as well called The Best Yes. And it's a lot of what she talks about, too, of this idea of, like, there is a best yes out there. There is a yes of how you use your time and your energy and your finances. And in order to get to that best yes, you have to say a lot of hard no's. And for me, sometimes that's saying no to opportunities to speak because I need to stay home, or opportunities to go places because I am already going somewhere else, or even if it's just I need to say no to an event because I need to stay home and prioritize rest, you know, that happens. And because I'm like extroverted times a million, anytime I stay home, it's always like, oh, this is terrible. Sometimes I have to prioritize, like, getting enough sleep and doing my laundry and these kind of things. And as silly as it sounds, that takes courage for me because I always feel like I'm being left out. I always feel, we call it FOMO, fear of missing out, that I always have the fear of missing out. But sometimes courage for me is like, do you care enough about yourself to take care of yourself? And I think a lot of times that's what saying no comes down to, is are you going to take care of yourself more than you're going to try to please others or do what others need you or want you to do?
Well, and there also must be an element of trust there. Do I trust that if I say no to this opportunity that seems good, that God is actually going to provide that opportunity that is the best for me?
Yeah, that's right. In one of the chapters, I think it's in the let go chapter, I talk about the monkey bar option. It's a whole lot easier to let go of what you're holding on to if you know that the next thing is there to grab onto, right? So it's easier to leave a job when you've already got the next job lined up and you have a pay increase. Or it's easier to move from one house to the next when the other house is already purchased. But when you have to say no to a new job or say no to staying somewhere and let go of the thing you currently have and you aren't sure what to grab onto, I think that takes an immense amount of faith and courage.
I have asked God for the map, but he is not inclined to give it to me. I just get that next step. And taking that next step is often very, very difficult to do.
And I think that's why, I mean, you know, these verses that we learn as tiny little kids and we sing as songs, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, I think there's something about him saying, look, I'm the lamp that's right here at your feet. You know, I'm just going to show you this path. I'm not going to light up the whole map for you right now. Because I think, for me, I don't think I would be brave enough to handle the whole map if the Lord showed it to me. But I think I can handle the next step. And so that's what he lights up for me and says, okay, will you take this next step? And that's where our opportunities to be brave lie, I think.
If you think about those who went out in Acts and began to tell people about Jesus, if they knew that they were going to be killed, I don't know that they would have gone with it at such zeal. Now, they knew that was a possibility, certainly, but if he had laid out that map, would the circumstances have turned out the way that they had? And you're right. I don't feel like God really trusts us with the map, but he tells us to trust him with the map.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's what we have to do. We just have to kind of let go a little bit and go, okay, I feel like I'm supposed to say no to this, and I don't know why, and I don't know that I don't understand, but I have to trust God beyond what I understand. And if, God forbid, I'm wrong, you know, like, what if I was supposed to say yes and I said no? God will fix that too. You know, like, he's big enough to work through whatever I try to mess up.
Well, there had to be at least one time or two in your life where you got a little scared after making a courageous choice and kind of wanted to pull back. How did you gain that sure footing again?
Oh, gracious. I mean, that could be my everyday. You know, like, I mean, three times in the writing of Let's All Be Brave, I emailed my editor and said, let's just forget it. You know, like, I'll just go get a job. I won't get a book writing job. I'll just get a job and we'll forget this. I mean, I am naturally very wimpy. It is hilarious that I'm the one that the Lord handed this book about being brave, because it's not my nature at all. So that happens to me a lot. The story that comes to mind is when I first moved to Nashville, about 3 weeks later, I went back to my hometown of Marietta, Georgia for a wedding. And when it was time, when the wedding was over and it was time for me to drive back to Nashville, I was just bawling, crying. Mind you, I'm 28 years old, so it's not like I was 14. I'm a full-on adult. And I'm just bawling, crying to my parents. And my dad said, okay, you don't have to go back. We'll figure out a way to get your stuff back down here. You tried it. It didn't work. You don't have to go back. But are you sure that's what you really want to do? Because I think you probably want to go back. But if you don't want to, we won't make you. We won't make you. And it was that, like, them believing that I had heard the Lord, them believing that I was doing the right thing, but giving me permission to be wimpy is actually what made me brave, if that makes any sense. It was having these people around me. For me, it was in this situation with my parents, but it still happens with friends and with, you know, people that work with me in the business, and where just having someone hear me be wimpy and go, okay, I hear that. I don't think that's the choice you want to make. Here, I think the brave choice is what you want to make, but I recognize that you're allowed to make a wimpy choice. What do you want to do? And so I think that's what really keeps me making the braver choices, I hope, is that I know that there are people around me who hear them as well and are willing to push me a little bit.
So you do write about how you have a lot of missionary friends, but that's not the call of God on your life, and that you live kind of a normal life. But at one point, you did move to a foreign culture. Talk about that a little bit.
I did. It's like one of the sweetest seasons of my life. I lived in Edinburgh, Scotland, which it probably, you know, and people watching the news know, it's a really big time for Scotland right now, that we should be praying for that country as they're deciding whether to be independent from the United Kingdom or not. But it is just one of the most wonderful cities in the world. And I moved there to be on staff with a church. They just called and said, hey, we need somebody to come over and help us plan events and kind of be a party starter for a college ministry that we want to start. And at the time I was 30, and I had said no to a couple of other opportunities like that in my 20s, thinking like, well, I want to get married, so I can't really move overseas because I want to get married. And by the time I was 30 and the opportunity came around, I just thought, man, I could do this for another decade. I could say no and waiting on something that the Lord hasn't even promised me, right? Just waiting on something that I hope happens in my life, and be 40 and realize that I never moved anywhere, never did that brave thing that the Lord was putting on my heart. And so, yes, I moved to Edinburgh, Scotland for 6 months and helped them start this ministry. And I absolutely loved it. Part of my heart will always live there. It's just one of the most beautiful, wonderful cities in the world. And watching God do amazing things there in the lives of college students and see, I think it's really important for us to see other cultures, because we all think God kind of looks like us and sounds like us. And though I hope God has a Scottish accent, because I think that would be beautiful, you know, people in Africa think God looks and sounds like them, and people in South America think God looks and sounds like them. And so I think it's important for us to get out, while we aren't called to live full time in other cultures. I think it's really important for us to see other cultures and experience other cultures, so that we can go, oh, maybe God doesn't look quite as American or sound quite as American as I thought he did.
Mm-hmm. You also write a lot about, or a little bit at least, about how you learn about God, not only through the work that you've done, but through different generations of people, like your grandmother, and how she was brave. Talk a little bit about her.
Yes, my grandmother. Both my grandmothers were awesome. And it's so sweet, because when my parents first read Let's All Be Brave, they were on a car ride and my mom read it to my dad. And so she would call me randomly and say, this part made us cry, this part made us cry. And the part about my grandmother really, really made her cry and miss her mom, because my grandmother was just a really faithful, like, you know, she was a school librarian. And when she retired from working at school, she worked at our church library. She was, had just a really normal life like I do and like a lot of us do. And yet she took a lot of opportunities to be really brave and how she lived and modeled that for me a lot. She modeled for me doing Bible studies every day. They lived across the driveway from us, my grandparents. And so I saw my grandparents every day. And she did puzzles and read books and did Bible studies and would talk a lot about what she was praying about. And when I moved to college, she would call me and ask me what she should be praying for me. And it just modeled to me this life of someone who never feels like they're finished. You know, never feels like, okay, now I just sit back. She always was moving forward, and I would say moving the kingdom forward in the generations behind her. And now our family, you know, I have a cousin who lives in Asia as a missionary. I have a sister who's moving to France as a missionary. I have another sister who works for churches, helping them handle their taxes well. I mean, so normal life or international life, my grandmother has this legacy of children and grandchildren that have really pursued moving the kingdom forward. And I think it's because of her.
I opened up a box of a bunch of cards and letters I had kept as a child, and many of them were from my grandmother. And she had written scripture in my birthday cards, in my graduation card, and always wrote that she was praying for me. And I have to say that as I was growing up, I didn't remember that at all. And so I asked my dad about my grandmother, and he said that she was always asking what was going on in our lives so she knew specifically what to pray about. Grandmothers are so amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. And it just means so much to me when I meet women of older generations than me that just feel this like push in their spirit to keep going after more things of the Lord, you know, and to keep going after what can I be praying about? I haven't finished studying the Bible yet. I want to know more. I think that's such an example to us. And I hope that that's an example to the generations behind us that see us continue, that there's not, you know, you don't really retire from being a Christian. You know, you can retire from your day job, but you don't retire from sharing the gospel and spreading the gospel and making brave choices. So this is something we get to do every day for the rest of our lives. So you're not too young to start being brave, and you're not too old to make brave choices. We are, until the day we go to heaven, we are pursuing and going after brave things on behalf of the Lord.
Talking to author Annie Downs today. She's an author and a speaker. She's a blogger as well, based in Nashville, Tennessee, but of course writing all over the country, all over the world. We're going to talk to her a little bit about how we can get a hold of more resources that she does or where she's going to be in the next few weeks. Maybe you can actually go see her. We're coming back on Connecting Faith in just a minute. Love the verse from 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." I don't always feel super self-disciplined, Annie Downs, but it sounds like I know that he's given me that. I just can't quite find it all the time.
Oh, yeah. That is absolutely true. I think so many times we think of discipline as like the rules we're supposed to live by. And man, I really think when it comes to being brave, discipline is kind of the practice field before the big game. You know, being disciplined in spiritual disciplines makes you ready for when you have these opportunities to say something or pray something or stand up. And, you know, that's why we do the day-to-day things, so we can be ready for the big moment.
It's like that saying that if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
I do often think that sometimes when I go through something that is particularly difficult or trying or where my faith has been built, I think, oh, no, I've gotten through this now. So the next thing that happens is going to be even more trying. Is that true?
Yeah, we are so cut from the same cloth, girl. That is exactly. I mean, every time I'm like, uh-oh, if I made it through this one.
There is a bit of pressure, I believe, that when you are an out there follower of Christ, that when things happen to you, I feel that it is my responsibility to act in a way that brings glory to God. And sometimes that is difficult for me. Do you go through that as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and you can, like you were just saying, this is kind of both of our lives and a lot of my friends' lives who are authors or speakers. There are just days where you want to go, can my life just be private for a minute? You know, like, hey, Lord, can I just not feel the need to tell everyone? And there are limits, obviously. Anyone who's using wisdom in this kind of field is hopefully using wisdom in what they share. But yeah, there are times where I just go, man, this is harder than I thought it would be. And I'm having to tell more personal stories and vulnerable stories than I really want to. And, you know, there's been some shrapnel from other people who didn't love some of the stuff I shared about my life, even though it wasn't their lives. And so it's just not always fun, but something I say to myself a lot, Joe, that maybe you can, we can start making this our motto together, is I'm 34, so I've probably only got maybe 70 years left on this planet, and that's it. So I've got 70 years to make an impact, and I've got 70 years for people who don't know the Lord to experience him through knowing me or through being my friend. And so in the long run, 70 years isn't that long. So if there's a little bit of suffering and a little bit of heartache and feeling like people know too much of my business, it'll only last for about 70 more years. So
it's like we're saying the same thing that you say to the teenager who someone said something bad of in the hallway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though we're twice as old.
Pass.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
right. You're coming to the Twin Cities soon to talk to women and teenage girls and young women, lots of women, Girls of Grace. Why don't you tell us about that and what that's all about?
Yes, I cannot wait. We're coming next weekend to Grace Church in Eden Prairie. I'm so excited. Number one, I'm excited because I think your weather is far more enjoyable right now than ours is. Ours is still like in the 80s. And I think y'all are like long sleeves, right?
We are in long sleeves, yes. But we kind of covet the 80s.
Wait.
So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, grass is always greener, huh?
Yes.
So, so we'll be up there next weekend. There's, you know, about 4,000 teen girls and their moms and youth leaders come in. And we're just kind of going to spend the day talking about what is grace and what does it mean to be a girl of grace and how does that really play out in our everyday lives? Jamie Grace will be there. Britt Nicole will be there. A couple of other great speakers, Chris Wheeler, Mo Ism. It's just it is a really fun day. I'm totally stoked about it. So that's next Saturday, and it's girlsofgrace.com. If anybody wants to grab a ticket and join us before they sell out, we were pretty close to selling out yesterday. So, and then Sunday I get to stick around and I'm in Wilmer, Minnesota, which I have never been to, Joe. I'm very excited about it.
Wilmer is a great place to go. So you have kind of a passion for women, young women in particular. Where do you derive that from?
You know, I think part of it is that I'm not sure I was great at being a teenager. I didn't really enjoy it. I wasn't very honest about my experience when it was going on. And so there's something in me now that really wants to help other girls have a better experience in their teen years than I had in a lot of ways. Now, I had some great experiences and went to a great church, wonderful family, got to have awesome opportunities. But internally, I struggled a lot. And so I think that's part of it. And I don't know. I think my jokes are kind of still high school, college level jokes. I just think teenagers and college students are really fun to be around. It's just something that I really enjoy hanging out with them. And so that's what I get to do for my job. And now the additional of getting to speak to women and adults, women and men alike, about Let's All Be Brave has been so fun because I get to also remind adults like, hey, and behind you are these generations who are watching you and watching to see who you will become and how you will lead.
Mm. So you have a few different books, of course, a couple of came before Let's All Be Brave. What do you hope that readers will come away with after reading this particular book?
You know, when someone finishes Let's All Be Brave, what I hope they feel is that they can be brave right in the life that they already have. That they aren't having to make, though some people have already emailed and said, I'm making these big changes, I'm doing this different, and that is amazing. And I feel really honored to be a part of anyone's story where they are making choices for the Lord. But what I would love for people to do is go, you know what? I have these three opportunities in my life that don't require my whole life to change, maybe, but it is brave for me to lead worship next Sunday at church, and they ask me to play guitar, and I'm scared, but I'm going to say yes. You know, that's what I hope, is that we will start to recognize the brave moments in our own lives and call them that. Be okay. There's nothing prideful about admitting that you made a brave choice or that you made a courageous choice. And so I think it'll be awesome when we start seeing that in ourselves and when we start seeing that in other people. We've started this fun hashtag that is brave, and it's on Instagram and it's on Twitter, and it's people calling out other friends of theirs when they are being brave and going, I see what you're doing, and that is brave. One mom last week said, my five-year-old just got on the school bus by herself for the first time, hashtag that is brave. And I was like, that's right. It's that easy. It's not just when someone moves across the world. It is when they walk down the driveway and get on the bus by themselves for the first time. That's brave. So it's been really cool to watch as people have found brave moments in each other's lives and calling that out and celebrating that in each other.
Well, and to see that when you accept that little nudge, or you actually move when you feel a nudge, and then see what God does with that act that you took, then it mm-hmm. allows you to be even braver the next time an opportunity comes along.
That's exactly right, Joe. That is 100% it, is when you realize that you were being brave and you celebrate that in you, when you start seeing it in other people, every opportunity gets a little bit bigger and a little bit easier. And all of a sudden, you're kind of like setting off these little brave bombs in your life that are affecting all the people around you. And all of a sudden, you've changed your little world just by making brave choices in your own life. It's incredible.
When I think about just different stories that are in scripture about the way that Jesus used people who were otherwise considered to be nothing or really not that important, and what he was able to do with whatever amount of gift that they gave. If you think about the little boy with the loaves and fish and what he did with that, I'm sure that little boy was like, I don't really want to give him this. I mean, it's not going to do anything, but here you
right.
go. And then to see what God can do with that. And if we just took those gifts that we have, that he has given us, and the way he's made us unique, and said, okay, maybe this doesn't seem that great, but I'm still going to give it to you. What can you do with it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're 100% right. Just being cognizant of, and that's why I love like the story of the talents in the New Testament, where Jesus tells the parable of these people being trusted with different amounts of talents. It's not about how many you're holding in your hand. It's what do you do with what you're holding in your hand?
It's like you writing books and putting them on and putting all of the manuscripts on a shelf and never sharing them with anybody else, which would be a shame.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Some people would agree with you and some might not.
But. Or maybe you have some on the shelf that you haven't shared. I don't know. I'm going to be your challenger then, to get them off the shelf.
That's right. You're pushing. I like it. That's what we need people for, Joe. I need you to say, Annie, what are you writing next? Are you brave enough to write? I mean, the one we're outlining and talking about is even harder for me to write than Let's All Be Brave. And I thought the next one we were going to get to like dial one in and write something easy. And that's not at all what the Lord's asking me to do. And I'm just like, oh, man.
It's the progression.
I thought it was going to be easier.
You do one thing, you succeed at that, and you get something tougher. But the reward will be greater. Tell us about where people can read more about you. You say you're a blogger. Where can people get a hold of what you write in your books as well?
I'm super easy to find all over the internet. It's Annie F, as in Frank, AnnieFDowns.com. That's also my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook. Everything is Annie F Downs. And then the books are all on Amazon. Speak Love, Perfectly Unique, and Let's All Be Brave are all on Amazon, on your favorite online retailer. But also, I'm a big, big fan of going into bookstores. So going into your favorite Christian bookstore, your Barnes & Noble, your Lifeway, whatever it is that is near you, and I'm picking it up there. I just got an email this week from a girl who said, I was just looking for answers and some peace, and so I started wandering around my local bookstore. And I thought, man, that is why bookstores still matter so much, because so many of us go there looking for answers. And it just feels like a real honor to have a book on a shelf where people are looking for answers, you know? So I'm easy to find, and I love getting emails, and I love connecting with people. It's like kind of my favorite thing is to make friends. So, you know, for anybody who wants to talk more, I'm easy to find.
Well, Annie Downs, it's been just a pleasure talking to you this hour. I know you've brought encouragement to our listeners and hopefully challenged people to be brave in their own right, to look at how Christ has created them to be and following through. So thank you so much for bringing encouragement.
Thank you, Joe. I enjoyed it so much.
Absolutely. Have a great day. We do still have Thanks. One more copy of Annie's book. You have exactly 20 seconds to give us a call if you'd like to grab that. Otherwise, have a wonderful afternoon. You've been listening to Connecting Faith.